All right, so if you came here to see Janet Baylog, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to get a Danielle Reeder Jolly special. So I kind of entered this at the last minute when we did up some staffing change-up, but the whole focus of this presentation is to really talk about where we have gone with barcoding and how the state of Wyoming applied it in 2010. So hopefully it'll be an interesting presentation, but we're really focusing on how do we make the process of registering and vaccinating patients more efficient. So at the end of 2009, we did a couple of assessments. We did one with the state of Washington to really focus on mass vaccination flows and the efficiencies and the bottlenecks in that process and where we could implement some barcoding tools. And then we looked at Wyoming in the sense of also mass vaccination, but also day-to-day provider interactions with the registry and how they could use barcoding in part of their routine practices. So when we were looking at the direct data entry into the IIS, it was perceived that, or real or perceived barriers by the private provider community, that entering vaccinations takes a long time. And so we looked specifically at what their labor roles were and tried to analyze what was real, what was perceived. Is there a win-win so that they don't have to do duplicate data entry, but to ensure that the registry is also getting that information? And within the move towards interoperability, you know, some of this will be met with the advancements in interfacing. But, you know, based on especially where we were at the time that the assessment was done, we want to try and eliminate any burden, unnecessary burden, on the provider community. We also want to leverage the existing technology. We don't want them to have to get a bunch of new hardware or software in order to support barcoding. So they're going to need a scanner, but beyond that, we're not going to require major infrastructure for them to participate. And then also just to make sure that there's no additional cost to them that's unnecessary. And then from the mass immunization component, obviously we've got people wrapped around the building. We need to process them as quickly and efficiently as possible. And so what we did as part of that assessment was to analyze the patient flow. Where does the patient go in each step of the process? Where are the bottlenecks? What is the staffing flow? And where do we need to have more staff versus less staff to kind of keep things moving efficiently? And then also for the program or pod managers that are there trying to oversee the operation, what sorts of information or intel do they need to make sure that they have adequate supplies and staffing? So from the private provider perspective, the real issues that they cited were the searching for patients. They've got to log in to a separate system, which is the IIS, especially if they're in their own native system. They've got to have a username and a password. They've got to maybe use different search criteria than they would in their own practice management system or EHR. And then if the patient isn't found, then they have to create a new record. As far as entering immunizations, they didn't want to have to enter that in two places, in their EHR and the registry, or IIS. And then entering the vaccination encounter data in order to capture the lot number, manufacturer, site route that you gave a VIS date, all of that, they considered to be very burdensome. And then perception, they really have had a perception that it took a lot of time to enter information into the IIS, and you know, maybe they hadn't enabled all of the efficiency tools, or they just weren't using it as their primary point of entry, and so they felt like overtaxed staff really, that direct data entry wasn't an option for them. There's also a perception that when meaningful use came about, that it would take care of everything. So there was no need for them to participate in the IIS, even though, you know, with the movement towards VTRACs and mass vaccination events where we're capturing priority categories, it may not all be taken care of or handled in their EHR. And then finally, there were some perceptions or comments made that entering data into the IIS is public health's job, not the provider's job. So anyway, that was sort of a stab to the heart there. But, you know, it's everybody's job to make sure that that record is complete and up to date so that we're vaccinating for the things that are appropriate. And then in terms of the mass vaccination events, again, the whole goal is to vaccinate people efficiently and quickly. If they've presented, we want to vaccinate them and get them on their way as quickly as possible. So during the pathway analysis, we looked at where the patient goes. So obviously the registration process is a huge bottleneck. They've got to fill out a lot of paperwork, tell you who they are and what their conditions might be. Then they go to a generalized flow of a clinic, but then they go to an immunization assessment checkpoint where somebody reviews that paperwork to make sure that you are in fact eligible to receive the vaccination, you meet the criteria, et cetera. Then they may go to a waiting queue and wait over here for a while until they get called back to the vaccine administration station. So then we actually go through the paperwork again, you get vaccinated, and then you've got to document that vaccination, and then finally the patient is discharged, and depending on what your mechanism is, there may be a billing component as well. So there's lots of potential places where these processes can get queued up, but particularly the registration was a bottleneck and the vaccine administration and documentation were a bottleneck, which is where barcoding comes in. So then the staff pathways are the same. You know, you've got staff trying to funnel these people, facilitate efficiencies, hand out paperwork, review paperwork, and document information. And then for the event manager, they're really looking at, you know, where are these bottlenecks happening? How can we rearrange staff? What are our inventory levels? Are we going to be able to vaccinate the 100 people that are still left outside, or do we need to cut the line? So they really need real-time information and kind of some time study analysis on how the procedure is going. So working with Washington and Wyoming, we put in a solution that looks at minimal time to try and make this as efficient as possible. And again, we focused really on that patient registration component and also the vaccination documentation component. And so we focused on 1D and 2D barcoding. So for the patient registration, we're looking at the driver's license and that 2D barcode on the back. And for the vaccinations, because right now there isn't a standardized barcode on like vaccine vials and that sort of thing, we developed in our system a 1D solution to that where they can print out labels that can be stuck on records or actually create scan sheets like you'd see at Home Depot for the bolts and stuff where you can go in and just scan it and populate it off of a scan sheet that was created for that event. So we tried to be flexible using what was available in the standard, and I know APA is really working towards working on a barcoding standard. CDC is now working on a contract for barcoding, RTI, you know, so there's a lot of new technologies that are forthcoming and up and coming, but we tried to leverage what was available and really get something out there to solution this as quickly as possible. And as far as 1D barcodes, it's really easy to generate those from an IIS application, so that was the easiest way to address the vaccination piece. And then as far as barcode scanners, there's a couple different types. There's tethered and untethered, which basically means there's one that connects to your computer or there's a wireless one that you can use. So there's some flexibility in the scanning, and there's a lot of scanners out there that support both 1D and 2D scanners. So you don't need two different scanners. It's just a multi-purpose tool that can read both of those. And then this this implementation that we ended up going with works with all of the different computer models. It doesn't require a lot of training because it's basically a scan barcode. You scan it, and then it pulls up the patient. So, you know, there's a lot of ease in there. It doesn't require a bunch of detailed explanation or documentation. And then barcoding in general is a proven technology in other industries, obviously, so it should work for us as well. And so just for those of you who aren't fully clear, but a 1D barcode is the one like you see in the grocery store. You know, it's just the lines and the number at the bottom, and it's very easy to generate that. The 2D barcode is more complex, but you're also able to store a lot more data. So whereas this one just tells you one thing. It could tell you lot number, or it could tell you manufacturer or something, but it doesn't contain nearly the amount of data that a 2D barcode can, which is, again, like the one on the back of your driver's license. And so in the driver's license scenario, it's got the patient name, date of birth, where they live, gender, height, weight, you know, and obviously we're bouncing things off that we don't need. We don't need the eye color in the immunization information system, so we're going to bounce that out. But we are going to take things like, you know, first name, last name, date of birth, and address, because that helps us match in the deduplication process. And then again, barcode scanners. There's a lot of variety there, lots of different things on the market, connected, unconnected. But really the whole detail is that it reads that barcode in and turns it into information that we can use. And once we've done that, I don't know why I lost my train of thought. But anyway, so it's going to take that information and read it. And then the keyboard wedge or USB doesn't require any additional software. So again, it's a really good option for integrating with IIS because it doesn't require alternate software applications that they have to manage and keep up to date. And just for pricing, a reader is in the price range of about $600 to $1,000. If you buy in bulk, you can usually get the pricing down. So, you know, we did do some creative pricing to try and get some or $300 to $1,000 to try and get them to get prices down in bulk purchases. And so Jan's going to come and talk to you about how they applied this solution in some real-life clinics and scenarios.
So before I start, I need to recognize just a couple of people. First one is Robert Grenwalge, who's my public health advisor for Wyoming, because without him, we wouldn't have had to do this. So thank you. But more importantly, by the same token, in a different way, three of my staff, John Anderson, who's my WIRE project coordinator, and Kathy Gaines, who not only works with our registry, but also conducts site visits, and we had an intern who really helped push this product out. So first of all, let me just share with you first of all, I should share. This was a supplemental grant that we received in 2009. And for those of you who remember 2009, there were a few other things that happened that year. One of them was called H1N1. The other one was called ERA. Does anyone remember those things? So 2009 was not a great year for us to roll out this technology. So it was sort of put on the bookshelf. So the higher priorities led to a delayed implementation. From there, once we were able to get things rolling, we actually were able to, in 2010, implement an interagency agreement with our Wyoming Department of Transportation, which allowed us to be able to access the data that's contained in these 2D barcodes, which I'll show you in just a few minutes, because I know you want to see it more than hear me talk. So right now, where we're at, we're on a sprint to beta test software prior to the 2011-2012 flu season for mass vaccination events, building on experience from the past CRA experiences that we've had, because at this point there are some bugs that need to be worked out, but in addition, we really need to get this into the hands of our providers before the next flu season. So as Lisa, who's my vaccine program specialist, really likes to point out, flu season is really never ending for us. So what we're doing right now, as I mentioned, we're on a sprint. So we're dealing with private provider mass immunization events. So what we're hoping to introduce to more providers than what we've done thus far is use the barcode technology to search the wire for immunization data using 2D barcode on the reverse of the driver's license, which I will show you. Or if they are not contained in the wire, to create a patient record in wire if no record is currently existing. And also, we can also generate 1D barcodes for vaccine lot number, vaccine manufacturer name, site, and route. We're not there yet because we're eating the elephant one bite at a time. So right now, we've used it to do more of the searching in the population, but I will show you a video clip about how this works. So, as Danielle mentioned, with a mass immunization event, you can rescan at certain checkpoints. There's a timestamp. When a person comes in, they can actually be assigned to a waiting room. So you come in, give your driver's license, they look for you, say, have a seat, you're assigned to the waiting room. When you go get your shot, they can pull you up from the waiting room functionality. So what we've done so far, we actually did not begin rolling this out until I found out I was presenting at NIC. So anyway, we actually started rolling this out in March of 2011. And so we rolled it out to three different types of providers to see how the technology would function. And one of the criteria that we gave to them, and they had to sign a participation agreement because we don't have enough to offer to all providers. So we were very selective in who we approached, and we outlined to them that just as I am expected to have a certain outcome by a certain date, so do you. And so we expected that they would hold a mass vaccination clinic. Remember, we're in Wyoming. Mass vaccination could be 5 people where we're at. And some of them were. One had 8. We're very excited about that. Sheridan County Public Health Nursing is a local health department in northern Wyoming near Montana. So we did have the local health department area represented. Shine Health and Wellness is a federally qualified health center. See a lot of underinsured and uninsured families. And the Midwest Clinic, which is actually a community clinic, but they are considered a private provider in our system. So just to give you an idea, this is not a real individual. This is a dummy dummy ID from YDOT. But just to show you, on the left is the front. This is a new driver's license. One of the other holdups was when we were in transition with our supplemental grant, ERA and H1N1, YDOT switched their vendors. So not only were we dealing with issues in our department in terms of transition and other priorities, YDOT also had issues. So we had to wait a little bit longer. As you can see on the left that there's a 1D barcode, but there's also a 2D barcode. So again, the 1D barcode only contains driver's license numbers, and the 2D barcode contains all your demographic data. And again, I will show you a demonstration of that, assuming this computer decides to cooperate. So Sheridan County Public Health, this is just a couple of examples. So when a person comes in, individual would show their driver's license. So you can see this is an untethered scanner, as Danielle mentioned. So there is no cord, but this is an older version of the Wyoming driver's license, which only had the 2D barcode. So what happens when an individual comes to the office to receive an immunization, the driver's license holder will present her driver's license to the administrative staff, who will then use a barcode scanner to conduct a search or populate a record for the wire. So I just want to share that I'm going to show you something, and we're going to try to make sure that it goes the way it needs to. But I want to share with you, please don't blink, because like many towns in Wyoming, if you blink, you miss it. This is very fast, so you'll need to watch closely. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to show you a live demonstration. So what I have done is I have in my hand the barcode scanner. I have in my hand the individual's license that you just saw. So this is what you're going to see from this point forward. So, but let me just preface this by saying this individual, for obvious reasons, is not in the wire. And this, so what you're going to see is this individual's license being scanned. I'm doing a search. She's not in the registry. I'm going to populate a record. So I want you to notice how fast this is. And you're going to hear some whispering in a second. And that's it. So that's scanning, searching, and populating. That's how fast it works. So hopefully you can see what the implications are for a mass vaccination clinic. So there you go. That was less than 30 seconds from the time a person presents to the time we search to the time we populate. So let me give you a couple of testimonials, because really it's not about me. My staff would disagree, but let me share with you a couple of testimonials that our providers have shared with us, and these were after they conducted the clinics. So this is from Shine Health and Wellness, and the nurse who was in charge of that said, "I like that the scanners improve my data entry time tremendously. The data entry is done by the time the patient has read and signed the consent." So this is from Sheridan County Public Health, which is the area where I showed you the photos. "I see this technology benefiting our office by giving us a jump start on the inevitable integration of electronic health records. I also envision this technology reducing the time spent entering vaccines, as well as fewer errors in entering vaccines. The barcode scanner for entry is quick and relatively easy to use once you are accustomed to it. The waiting room functionality worked really well for our clinic." And from Midwest Clinic, this gentleman is so articulate and so sharp. He loves this technology. "As time goes on and the remainder of the system becomes functional, I see it as being a huge time saver. Much of the time spent during mass vaccination is spent on records. This system has the potential for cutting that time by 50% or more, allowing a small clinic with a limited number of personnel to do mass vaccinations. Barcode scanning allows for personnel who have limited training to assist, freeing up medical personnel, allows for fewer personnel to do the job at a faster rate, rate so that a smaller contingent of personnel can do the job. This is always important in smaller communities with limited resources. And Midwest is a town of 500. I don't think it's much bigger than that. But they are near, they're really out in the sticks. So conclusion, again, barcoding technology alternative brings new offering to IIS provider recruitment. We don't see that this would be necessarily applicable in all settings. For example, our pediatrician's offices, where you have very few kids that are going to come in with a driver's license. Barcode scanners are affordable and allows providers to use existing computer. We did purchase some tethered as well as untethered to see if there was a preference. So far, there's really no preference. At this point in time, they really haven't tried off-site clinics to see whether or not that cord really makes a difference. But there is quite a price differential of about $500. And in mass immunizations, this is the ability to track patients, expedite registration, expedite vaccination documentation, and support real-time monitoring of vaccine usage and supply. So this is where we're at today, but some of the next steps are, first of all, we need to work out the bugs. We need to make sure that it's working the way it needs to before we roll it out for the mass vaccination clinics. And we also need to introduce the larger to some larger clinics to help them see how this technology works, because it's our larger clinics that are really doing the mass vaccination clinics. We chose to go small first because we didn't want to overwhelm anybody, including ourselves. And in addition, the next step would also be generating the 1D barcodes for not just the vaccine information, so lot number, expiration date, but also generating reminder recall postcards for children so that you're able to generate a reminder recall postcard saying, Mom and Dad, your kid is due. The postcard has a 1D barcode on it. Mom and Dad can bring the card in, pull up the record immediately. We do see this as a really powerful opportunity. However, we're not there yet. My staff would like to get there faster sometimes, and sometimes they don't want to because they're still trying to figure out what else needs to be worked on before we start rolling to these bigger clinics. But it has been very positive. Every time people come into our office, we're like, do you have a driver's license? We need to try it. So everyone has to have a driver's license when they come to our section now so that we can try out their barcode. So it's been very exciting, but as you can see, it's not time-consuming at all. It really is very user-friendly. Like I said, we just I have a staff member who's very perfectionistic and is not working as perfectly as he would like it to work. So we need to work out the flow and make sure that it's working the way it needs to.